ever picked up a product and thought, wow, this feels cheap? Chances are the surface finish is to blame. Today, we're doing a deep dive into the world of surface finishes, specifically for extruded versus injection molded parts. It's a topic you specifically requested, and I have to admit, even I was surprised by how much there is to learn. We're talking tiny details that make a huge impact on a product's success, durability, grip, how it even feels in your hand. Get ready to uncover why a Frohn case feels so different from a PVC pipe, and how post-processing is basically like giving a part a spa day.
And prepare to be surprised. You won't believe how much those tiny surface details matter, even down to the micrometer level.
Speaking of micrometers, I was reading that the typical surface roughness for extruded parts is Ra 1.6 to Ra 6.3 nm, while for injection molded parts, it's Ra 0.8 to Ra 3.2. That's a tiny difference, but I'm guessing it makes a big difference in the final product.
Absolutely. Think of that satisfying click when you snap on your phone case. The precision fit is partly thanks to that smoother Ra 0.8 to Ra 3.2 mm finish, achieved through injection molding.
Okay, so we're talking phone cases versus, say, construction pipes. But before we get into those specifics, can we rewind a bit? Remind me again. What are the core differences between extrusion and injection molding?
Good point. Let's lay that foundation. Picture a Play-Doh fun factory. That's basically extrusion. You push the Play-Doh through a shaped hole, and out comes a continuous form, like a pipe or a rod. Injection molding, on the other hand, is more like using a cake mold. You inject molten plastic into a closed mold, let it cool and solidify, and then you have a discrete, precisely shaped part. And actually, if you look at the diagram we've included, you can see a visual representation of the two processes.
Okay, so that visual really makes it clear. Extrusion, long, continuous shapes. Injection molding, more about individual, often intricate parts. Now, we talked about how that smoother finish is ideal for that phone case click, but I'm guessing the mold itself plays a huge role in getting that surface just right.
Mold quality is everything. Think of it as the foundation of a house. If it's not solid, the whole structure is compromised. We've included a table called Key Aspects of Mold Quality. Take a look. You can really see how cavity roughness, the mold material, and even the design complexity all affect the final product.
I'm looking at the table now, and it's making me think about a project I read about, where they had this rough mold that ended up creating these tiny ripples on the final product.
Exactly. That's a perfect example of how even small imperfections in the mold can cascade into noticeable flaws on the part's surface.
So even before we factor in things like temperature and pressure, the mold itself can make or break the surface finish. This is way more intricate than I realized.
And it gets even more interesting when you consider the process parameters, those fine-tuned settings that influence the final outcome. These parameters are like a recipe, each ingredient affecting the texture and appearance of the final product.
Okay, so we've got the mold, we've got the recipe. Give me an example of how those parameters actually impact the surface finish.
Think about extrusion speed. If you try to push the material through the die too quickly, you might end up with surface imperfections, kind of like squeezing frosting onto a cake too quickly. It gets messy.
Ooh, I know that frostings struggle all too well. Too much pressure and it all goes sideways, literally. But too slow, and maybe it doesn't flow properly, so there's a sweet spot for speed and extrusion.
Exactly. And it's not just speed. Cooling rate is another critical factor, especially in injection molding. How quickly the molten plastic cools inside the mold actually affects the crystallinity of the material, which in turn influences the surface roughness.
So we've got the mold acting as the foundation and the process parameters as the recipe. But what happens when you want to take that surface finish to the next level, like from a basic cake to a gourmet masterpiece?
That's where post-processing comes in. Imagine taking a rough diamond and turning it into a sparkling gem. That's what post-processing does for manufactured parts. It's all about refining the surface, adding that extra touch of finesse, and even enhancing functionality.
Okay, I'm picturing a diamond in the rough transforming into something stunning. But break it down for me. What are some of the techniques involved in this post-processing spa day?
There's a whole arsenal of techniques, each with its own purpose. We've included a table in the show notes called Common Post-Processing Techniques. But let me give you a few highlights. Grinding is like using sandpaper to smooth out imperfections and create a uniform surface. Polishing takes it a step further, achieving that sleek, glossy look we see on so many consumer products. And then there's spraying, where coatings are applied to add both aesthetic appeal and protection to the part.
Speaking of protection, I remember working on a project involving car interiors, and post-processing was absolutely essential for meeting those high aesthetic demands. Think about that soft touch feel on a luxury car's dashboard that's achieved through meticulous post-processing, turning a potentially rough plastic part into something that feels luxurious.
That's a great example of how post-processing elevates a product from simply functional to something that provides a truly luxurious experience. And it's not just about aesthetics. Post-processing can add important functional properties as well.
So we've got construction pipes with their rougher, grip-enhancing surfaces, and sleek phone cases with their smooth, touch-friendly finishes. But let's dive into those real-world examples a bit further. What are some other instances where the choice of surface finish is crucial?
Let's stick with the car example for a minute. Think about the exterior body panels. They need to be visually appealing, absolutely. But they also need to be incredibly durable, resistant to scratches, sunlight, and easy to clean. Achieving that perfect combination of beauty and resilience often involves using specialized molds with very fine textures, controlling the cooling process meticulously to avoid imperfections, and then employing post-processing techniques like polishing or applying specialized coatings.
It's like a carefully choreographed dance between engineering and artistry, isn't it? But how do manufacturers determine which level of roughness or smoothness is best for a specific application? Is there a magic formula?
There's no magic formula, but there's a deep understanding of the product's purpose and the materials involved. For example, a rough surface might provide better grip, which is ideal for tools or sporting equipment. On the other hand, a smooth surface is essential for reducing friction in applications like moving parts or medical devices.
Oh, it's all about tailoring the surface finish to the specific demands of each application, but with all the variables involved: mold quality, process parameters, post-processing techniques. I imagine consistency must be a huge challenge.
Consistency is absolutely one of the biggest challenges in achieving desired surface finishes. It's like trying to bake a perfect cake every single time, even when the oven temperature fluctuates or the ingredients vary slightly. Maintaining that level of precision across large production runs requires a deep understanding of the materials, processes, and equipment involved.
I'm starting to realize that achieving those seemingly simple surface finishes is actually incredibly complex. What are some of the other challenges you've encountered in this field?
Well, aside from consistency, there's the constant pressure to innovate and push the boundaries of what's possible. Consumers are demanding more durable, functional, and aesthetically pleasing products, and that drives the need for new materials, processes, and post-processing techniques.
You mentioned innovations earlier. What are some of the most exciting advancements you're seeing in surface finish technology? Is it true that self-healing coatings are becoming a reality?
They are indeed becoming a reality. These coatings are still in the early stages of development.
Yeah.
But they have the potential to revolutionize the way we think about product durability and longevity. Imagine a phone case that can repair minor scratches and dents on its own. That's the power of self-healing coatings.
Wow, that does sound like something straight out of a science fiction movie. Are there any other advancements that have you particularly excited?
One area that I find particularly fascinating is biomimicry. Taking inspiration from nature to develop new materials and surface finishes. Scientists are studying natural surfaces like lotus leaves, which have remarkable water-repellent properties, or shark skin, which is incredibly efficient at reducing drag in water. By mimicking these natural designs, we can create coatings that repel water and dirt, reduce friction, and even enhance aerodynamic performance.
It's incredible how we can find inspiration for cutting-edge technology in the natural world. But with all these advancements, I'm guessing the field of surface finish technology is becoming increasingly specialized.
Definitely. And collaboration is key. We're seeing designers, engineers, material scientists, and manufacturers all working together to create the next generation of surface finishes. It's a truly multidisciplinary field. That's what makes it so exciting.
Okay, so we've gone from basic Play-Doh analogies to self-healing coatings and biomimicry. My mind is officially blown.
And we're not done yet. There's still so much to explore.
We've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive into the world of surface finishes. From the basics of extrusion and injection molding to the intricacies of mold quality and process parameters, we've even explored the magic of post-processing and how it can transform a rough part into something that feels luxurious. And who could forget those self-healing coatings inspired by nature?
It's been quite a journey. We've seen how those tiny details, often measured in micrometers, can have a huge impact on a product's functionality, durability, and even our own perception of its quality.
I'm curious, though, with all these advancements, is there a risk of over-engineering surfaces? Is there such a thing as too perfect when it comes to surface finishes?
That's a really interesting question. And the answer, as with most things in engineering, is that it depends. While striving for perfection is admirable, it's important to remember that every design decision involves trade-offs. A super smooth, flawless surface might be ideal for certain applications, like touchscreens or high-end furniture. But for other products, a rougher texture might actually be more beneficial, providing better grip or masking minor imperfections.
So it's about finding that sweet spot between functionality, aesthetics, and, of course, cost-effectiveness.
Precisely. A high-gloss finish might look stunning on a car's dashboard. But if it's prone to glare and sunlight and shows every fingerprint, it's not going to be a very practical choice. Ultimately, the best surface finish is the one that best meets the needs of the user and the demands of the application.
This deep dive has made me realize that there's a whole world of thought and engineering that goes into those surfaces we often take for granted, from the moment a product is conceived to the final touches in post-processing. Every step plays a role in shaping its surface and ultimately our experience with it.
And as technology continues to advance, we can expect to see even more incredible innovations in the field of surface finishes. Self-healing coatings are just the beginning. We're on the cusp of a new era where surfaces can be engineered to be not just durable and aesthetically pleasing, but also intelligent and responsive to their environment.
I'm excited to see what the future holds for surface finishes. Who knows, maybe one day we'll have self-cleaning clothes or phone screens that repair themselves after a drop. But in the meantime, I think we can all appreciate the incredible work that goes into creating the surfaces we interact with every day.
Absolutely. So the next time you hold a product, run your fingers across its surface and take a moment to consider the journey it took to get there. From the initial design concept to the carefully chosen materials and manufacturing processes, to the meticulous post-processing techniques that give it its final look and feel, there's a story behind every surface. And now you have the knowledge to appreciate its complexities.
That's a fantastic way to wrap up our deep dive. I feel like we've gone from being oblivious to surface finishes, to being able to appreciate the science, the artistry, and the sheer ingenuity behind them. It's been an eye-opening experience.
And that's what we aim for in these deep dives, to spark curiosity, deepen understanding, and leave you with a newfound appreciation for the world around you.
Well, mission accomplished. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep those surfaces in mind. You never know what hidden wonders you might discover.